Remember the last time you cried?
Yeah, I do.
Did Jesus cry?
He did.
And he does in this chapter.
No, I'm not supposed to answer the question, am I?
He does in this chapter.
And he yells at me all the time because I'm not supposed to solve the problem. But he doesn't really yell at me.
I don't think the last time I yelled at you was like six and I got a spanking. So I've learned my lesson on that, Father. What did Jesus cry about? It actually does. What you cry about does say a lot about you.
Yeah.
And we see Jesus' heart here on full display in Luke chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And you want to start in verse 1, Junior?
That's right. It says, about this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some... Sorry. We have fewer verses, but here. So like I say, so you ever watch... Corner Gas.
I turned you on to that show.
I love that show now. So when I read Pilate, I just watched the episode where everybody says Pilates. They're like, we don't do Pilates because he killed Jesus.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I almost read it
that way.
That
was a different guy.
Was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. So the point that Jesus is making here is just because something bad happens to somebody doesn't... And that, this was the prevailing thought. Oh, you were a sinner because something bad happened to you. You have a deformity or you have a disease, so you must have had some great sin. Jesus is saying, no, we're all sinners.
Yeah,
I mean, you are all sinners, not Jesus.
Yeah, he's trying
to point
that out. Yep. And that is the end for all of us is death and then the judgment. So that's the big deal.
Then Jesus told the story. A man planted a fig tree in the garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention, plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, it's kind of funny because anytime you see like one Sabbath day as Jesus was teaching, usually music could just go dun, 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 because something, you have the Pharisees are going to try to catch him on the Sabbath.
Course.
He saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit and she had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. And he touched her and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey and from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman was a daughter of Abraham who had been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right for her to be released even on the Sabbath? They shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did.
You know, I maybe this is not so related to the point that Jesus was making, but except for the fact that he talked about her being held in bondage by Satan. And so does that mean that any kind of a crippling defect or any kind of a sickness, that this is all of Satan? And I would say that Jesus is saying it is, because in reality, all of the problems that we have today, that even the physical ailments, I mean, it comes not necessarily because of the immediate result of our current sin or of our own sin, but it is due to the corruption of the human nature and who we are as people because of sin. Yeah. So it does come from the divider, the one who's divided us from God.
That's right. You want to take it from there?
Yeah, verse 18 we're at.
Yep.
And Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in the garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches. In other words, it starts out so tiny and then becomes so large. He also asked, what else is the kingdom of God like? It's like the yeast a woman used in making bread, even though she put in only a little yeast. In 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. And of course, we're right now doing a sermon series in the book of Acts, and we're seeing how that little tiny group grew massively, just even in Jerusalem alone, and then eventually makes it around the world. Jesus went through the towns and villages, verse 22, teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? Verse 24, And he replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, but we ate and drank with you, and we taught in our streets. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. As if you don't enter into the correct doors, what he's saying, which is Jesus was talking about himself. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. And people will come from all over the world, from east and west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then, and some who are the greatest now will be least important then. I mean, Jesus was a pretty harsh preacher. He did not hold back at all. He's saying it's a very serious thing to reject the opportunity that he's giving you for salvation. You reject that, and you're lost forever, and it's a pretty bad condition.
We can look at this and be like, he's so harsh, but if you weren't to tell somebody about the danger of something coming up that they could end up in, that'd be not merciful at all.
No, he's motivated by his love, that he knows that hell is real. Of course, he's God. He knows that hell is real, and he doesn't want anybody there. This is why his warning was so straightforward. At that time, the Pharisees said to him, go away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you. Jesus replied, go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way, for it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. Saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned, and you will never see me again until you say, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
And it's there that he was mourning and grieving. Mm-hmm. It shows you his heart, that Jesus cares about people. He cares about lost souls. And if we follow Jesus, we have the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
God has given us a new heart that should care for the lost around us.
And those tears that Jesus shed, we see that illustrated in Psalm 126. It's actually a great passage. That those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. It seems to not make any sense. I mean, what does it have to do with a farmer planting seeds with tears? What does that have to do with anything? And I think this is actually speaking of the seeds of God's gift with great tears in being concerned for the people that we're to be sharing with. And in fact, in these days right now, we're talking about Easter coming up at the Bridge and people gaining a real heart for and a love for their friends and coworkers and neighbors, having such love for them that if we have that kind of a love that's motivating us to be able to bring them to church, to hear the gospel, or to be able to share with them what God's done in our life, that kind of care and concern for them is what will bring them in and cause them. I mean, if people really know that you care about them, then they care about what you have to say. And so that's what it's talking about. This is a spiritual verse, not just a
Jesus grieves over the lost. Are you even inviting them to church? Are you having meaningful conversations?
Yeah.
Are you looking for opportunity?
Look for some today.
Yeah.
Look for them at work, in your daily activity. Look for some of those conversations today.
That's right. All right. So it would be, what is it, Psalm?
Yeah, it was Psalm 126.
Psalm 126, 127, 128.
That's what I just read.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You did not.
Yeah, I did.
I thought you were just commenting on what Jesus just said.
No, I read those two verses, Psalm 126.
Well, I was looking up what National Day it was at that time.
Yeah, you were jumping ahead. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Not paying attention to the Word of God being read by his Father.
Hey, at least I didn't yell at you this time, okay? Yeah. All right, well, today is March 12th, which aside from being my middle child's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Nora.
Yeah.
What a sweetheart she is.
She is. It is Organize Your Home Office Day.
Hmm.
So, or just office in general.
Yeah.
So my office needs a little bit of organization.
Not mine. Mine's in...
Well, yeah, because your office is just redone.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you to
to
Maddie Trinick,
the producer of Between the Lines.
Yeah, and then my office at home, though, my home office is very well organized. Neat as a pin.
Because of you or because of my mom?
No, because of your mom.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Actually, my home office is the comfortable chair. That's where I sit with a laptop.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, organize some stuff today. After your nap yesterday, you should be well rested to organize your office today. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.